a spiritual enterprise. Two people letting go of their armors and just letting go. That is a sexual practice. It doesn't have to be within certain breathing practices. You can do those too. And concentration practices. In fact, E.L. Watkins says, mysticism is not disguised sex. Sex is disguised mysticism. I'd like to tell you about a radical sexual experiment which took place in not one but two different spiritual communities at different times. The reason it's unique and the reason it's important that they took place in spiritual communities is because the priority of these communities was the bigger picture of life, transcendence, and spirituality. And yet they were kind of wild spiritual communities at times. I won't name the teachers. The fact that they had a guru, a teacher, who was recognized by the followers, by the disciples, as a master, those masters made the rules. It was a society unto itself. And in each, I'll just tell about one of them because they're very similar. One of these masters one day said, we're going to take on a consideration about sexuality. And there were about 300 people in the community who used to spend time in the ashram, the sanctuary. He said, all sexual rules are now off. Anything you ever learned, all marriages are suspended. Now, you don't usually have that happen in society, but in this community it did. He said, do whatever you want to do, explore every kind of sexuality you can. Men who weren't even homosexuals were having sex with other men, seeing what that was like. Women were doing the same. There were twosomes and threesomes and wife swapping and husband swapping and groups living together and every kind of promiscuity. By the way, they were all checked health-wise. They used precautions. It wasn't crazy or self-destructive. But, as you might imagine, it created a lot of personal turmoil. People couldn't just pretend, oh, this is okay, because he said it was. Jealousies, resentments, insecurities, all of it was brought up. And it was talked and processed into the night every night. It went on for months, like a whole summer almost. At the end of this time, everything settled back down. Some marriages broke up. Others got back together. He said, all this is off. Now we're back to normal, status quo. Let's consider what happened. And after all this ended, the conclusion that not the spiritual master didn't tell them this is how it is. They all considered it. And the consensus was that sexuality, in terms of spiritual practice, works best in a committed, intimate relationship. The rest, because again, about freeing our attention, you have a mate. We need mates. Most of us do, unless we exclusively masturbate, which some people do if they don't have a partner. But otherwise, we need a mate. If we have a mate, it works better to have one stable family. Not just for the raising of children, of course. But we have stable things, so we don't have to be looking around, who's that? Where's my next conquest? There's my next mate. I need to express with somebody, you know. We don't have to do that. So our attention is freed then for the higher elements of life as well. So that was the conclusion. And it didn't matter whether it was a committed heterosexual or committed homosexual relationship. As long as it was a committed, intimate relationship. What about masturbation anyway? We've all been told it's okay, it's natural. We've also been told it's not okay and natural. And the Bible's been quoted, and other sources have been quoted, and scientific studies have been quoted, and Taoist masters will tell you don't want to waste the vital jing, the fluid, the energy. Whatever opinions or philosophies or beliefs or religious mores we have, fact is, lots of people masturbate, whether they're married or not. And I'm going to suggest to you that if someone is single, they don't have a mate, or they have a mate but they're away for an extended period of time, masturbation, if they need sexual release, seems one good solution, practical solution, if you compare it to going to a bar or picking up somebody and getting into very kinky situations. Seems a relatively benign solution. Also, in a married couple, it happens sometimes that an otherwise compatible couple that love each other, one of them has a far greater need for sex, and it may be the male, it may be the female. So it may be a solution for the person who needs more orgasms at that point in their life to masturbate more, and when the other person develops and builds up their sexual, their drive and their need for orgasm, then they come together. I'm not saying this is right or wrong, but I'm just proposing it as a sane approach to relationships. Many people, that isn't talked about. That isn't talked about. How many of you talk about masturbation with your spouse? Let me give you the germ of Tantra Yoga in a nutshell. Consciously connect your genitals to your heart. That's it. Oh yeah, just pure objective sex can feel good. When it's good, it's really good. When it's bad, it's still not too bad, you know. But by consciously becoming aware of your heart as well as your genitals when you're having sex, it brings in a different element to the intimacy. It may be good advice to suggest that it's best to come together with someone sexually when you feel both love and desire. That it's optimal sexual intimacy when you feel both love and desire. There are people who come together lots with lots of desire, but there's not much love there. That's what eroticism is. Desire, not necessarily love. That may be less fulfilling in the long run than love and desire. There are also other people